Shalom Aleichem. I hope that everything is well. This is Yosef Bronstein re-recording a shir as I was supposed to give to the Avreichem of Mechon Zermatt Haaretz. It's part of our series of Torah's Eretz Yisrael based on the teachings of Rav Kook, the methodology of learning Torah as we get closer to the Mashiach based on the teachings of Rav Kook. So in the previous sessions, we've discussed various chiburim or syntheses Rav Kook proposed between different genres of Torah. Between Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, between Nigla and Nistar, between Klalim and Pratim. In this session, we're going to discuss a different chibur, not between two types of Torah, but between the Seichel HaYashar, Seichel Tiv'i, and Musar Tiv'i of a person's natural common sense, natural moral intuition, and what they learn from the Torah, what they learn from the Sfarim HaKadoshim. And perhaps as a starting point, or as a counter, as a foil, to a degree, let us look at the Drashos of Mishmar HaLevi. This is Rav Schlesinger. Schlesinger was a Talmud of Rav Shach, who was a Rashiva of the Yeshiva, I'm forgetting which one, in Bnei Brak, and who gave drashos, I think at the behest of Rav Shach, where he articulates a very, very, in a fascinating and really amazing way, a very clear articulation of the type of hashkafa that Rav Shach, it sounds like, Rav Shach stood for. So in one of his drashos, there is a section entitled Das Balabatim Hefek Das Torah, that the Das Balabatim, the opinion of Balabatim, is the opposite of Das Torah. And he writes as follows, or he said as follows. Srikim Ladas is Sod Gazal. You have to know a very important principle. Yesh Ba'olam Shnei Sugim Shel Mishkafayim. There is in this world two types of glasses, two types of lenses, perspectives on the world. Yesh Mishkafayim Shel Torah, Yesh Mishkafayim Shenim Shel Torah. There are Torah lenses, a Torah perspective, and a non-Torah perspective. Mi Shazokha the Mo Torah Lishma, Roes Kol Habriya Mishkafayim Shel Torah. Akol Masha Nasa Bavriya Yishla Ashafchana Masha Torah Omeres Alze. If somebody learns Torah Lishma, they have a Torah perspective. They have Torah glasses. They could understand that the Torah, Hashem's perspective on anything that occurs in this world, natural phenomenon, human phenomenon, social phenomenon, political phenomenon, whatever it is, they have the Torah perspective on it. The other shalozak of the Torah, those people that did not learn Torah, even though they are good Jews with seemingly good intentions, yish lehem das balabatim. They have das balabatim. They have their own moral, general, natural moral intuitions, their own common sense. That is the opposite of Das Torah. It is the difference between them is not measured in percentages. That somebody who has Das Torah sees 100% of what Hashem wants in this world, and somebody that didn't learn Torah only has 70% or 80%. Ella is a mamish hefuk Das Torah. Your own moral or logical intuition, it could be, or is sometimes, or is very likely to be, the opposite of the Torah perspective. Like the Sma brings the Chosh Mishra Semen Gimel. I mean, this is about a, no, this is, comes from a particular context of adding a Dayanim onto a court and who to sit with on a court, on a Bezdin. But but Rav Schlesinger, and he's not the first one, is broadening it to a more of a general principle. But the Sma writes, Vim Tishma Latsasi, Lo Teshem Itzah Kahal B'Shum Din. You shouldn't sit with the average person, somebody whom you don't know, somebody who's not a Talmud Chacham in any case. Diadata, she piskei balabatim, upiskei halumdim him shnei hafachim. The psak of a balabas, the psak of a lamdan are two opposites. Lo sheze yodea me'achov, ze yodea shmone machov. Not that, no, somebody learns Torah, they can know 100% of the halachos, 100% of the Torah's perspective on a topic. And somebody doesn't learn but has a good moral intuition, they can know 80%. Et la hefuk das Torah legamri. Masha Torah meres chayav lo merzaka. Mish Torah meres aser amar mutter. Hefuk das Torah mamish. So to a certain degree, you have to mevatel your own moral or logical intuition if you want to gain the Torah perspective on the world, or the divine perspective on any event in the world. And the ones that do this to the largest degree are the Gedolei Yisrael. And they are the ones with Das Torah. They are the ones with the Torah perspective on anything and everything that occurs in this world that is as free as possible from Das Balabatim, from a general moral human perspective. And therefore, it is not. Therefore, if the Gedolei Yisrael say to do something, the Torah says to do something, and the entire world is against you, the Jewish society and non-Jewish society, they look at it and it seems strange. It seems to be no morally reprehensible. That shouldn't surprise you, because Das Balabatim, if you don't have Das Torah, Das Balabatim is Hefach Das Torah. And if you want to have Das Torah, you want to know Hashem's perspective in this world, sometimes, or it's very likely, you have to do the opposite of what the average person on the street would do in this situation, or would want you to do in this situation. So if somebody has, if the Gedolei Yisrael tells you to do something, Halacha tells you to do something, Shacharach tells you to do something, And if people find it morally reprehensible, that is perhaps expected. Even from our own community, Rav Salichik has a similar type of yesod. He doesn't have the same, the extreme formulations, but the yesod is very similar. He has a drasha, which is fairly often quoted, of, I think it's Korach on the Common Sense Rebellion, where he basically says that this was Korach's mistake, in the Apidrash, that Korach wanted halakha to be dictated by common sense. So it doesn't make sense to me that if you have a talis that's entirely tchilas, you also need a string of tchilas. So it doesn't make sense to me if you have a room that is filled with Sefer Torah, that you also need a mezuzah. Halakha should make sense, should fit in with our own common sense. It should be meaningful to us. And Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately was right. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, Torah is a divine discipline. It is Hashem's perspective on the world, and whatever Hashem says goes, and it doesn't always have to make sense to you. Rav Kook is going to argue that there has to be some type of conversation going on, some type of dialogue, some type of synthesis to a degree between das balabatim, between your own general moral and logical intuition on a topic, and what you are learning from the Torah and from Svarim HaKedoshim, both in Nigla and in Nistar. So first, let us look at several pieces where Rav Kook articulates this. We can see his formulations. And then we could see perhaps what is one of the underlying principles that led Rav Kook to this perspective. So first let's just read the pieces almost without analysis, and we'll try to analyze them a little bit. So first we'll deal with common sense or with natural logic, natural cognitive capabilities, and then we'll look at moral intuition as well. So Rav Kook writes as follows: Shmona Kvatzim Hei Pei. Just like your natural cognitive capabilities cannot replace the need for a strong and healthy physical body. So Rav Kook is saying that your seichel is probably more important than your guf. It's more elevated, let's say. But you need to have a healthy guf in order for the seichel to be able to function properly, like the Makiri HaTavaseh, the Rambam writes, Nefesh B'riyah B'Gafari. Similarly, analogous to this, the seichel HaKodesh, which you get from Torah and Ruach HaKodesh and a spiritual perspective on things, it cannot replace the role of seichel tevi, of what your natural human mind is going to figure out and explore. So he is saying clearly that the Seichel HaKodesh, the things you're getting from Torah, the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine perspective, is going to be more elevated than your Seichel HaTevi, but you need the context, you need the setting of Seichel HaTevi, or upon which to build your Seichel HaNetzal HaElyon, B'tzuras HaFas HaKodesh. The same way you need a healthy body upon which your seichel could be built and function. A person has to fill out their seichel tevi in all of its characteristics. So that in a spiritual way, you can have nefesh bria beguf bari, klomar ruach hakodesh, nira mufutakas, the mezgara shel seicha. You have to develop your common sense. You have to develop your natural understanding of the world, and upon that, you can have the ruach hakodesh, which will grant you a more divine perspective on this world. Like Rav Kook quotes later on in this piece, Hashem gives chachma to those that are already chacham. Chacham leiv masati chachma. So Hashem gives chachma. Hashem gives ruach hakodesh. Hashem gives a more elevated spiritual perspective to those people that already have seichel tivi, some combination of common sense and regular this world learning, and upon that they could have a higher perspective of Ruach HaKodesh. But you can't have one without the other, or one without the other is going to be misread. The same way your seichel, your regular cognitive capabilities, are going to be diminished if you do not have a healthy body. In the next piece, Arot HaTorah, Rav Kook says a similar idea. Torah was given to the Jewish people, so that the gates of light, they said the brightest gates of light, Yoter Rachavim, the widest, Yoter Kedoshim, the holiest, Mikol Sharia Ora Shel Bina Tzivit Shel Ruach Musar Tzivit Shel Adam Yiftekulanu, Vayadino L'chol Am Kulo. The Torah is our portal, it is our gateway to the brightest, the widest, the most holiest type of light in this world more than we could gain through our bina tivit, through our natural contemplation, our natural thinking, and through our ruach musar tivi, or through our natural moral inclinations. V'iman, but, so clearly the Torah is more elevated. But, Rav Kook writes, V'iman akhnu utzmim esozneinu, mishmoa v'kol Hashem ha'pashot, akorei b'kolach, ayidei kol shari ha'bina tiviyim, shenachmas kol adam. But if we, because we have the Torah, we close our ears to the more natural forms of light in this world, mipnei she'anu choshvim, because we think, shenimsas or Torah, that the Or of Torah is ripped asunder from everything else in this world. We are not going to understand the value of Torah. You could receive the Torah and still not be wise, because you have to understand the Torah is the widest, the holiest, the lightest, the brightest form of light in this world. But it has to be built upon the Kol Hashem HaPashot, that the simple voice of Hashem that it calls out through the Shari Ora HaTiviyem, that Rav Kook refers to as Bina Tivis and Ruach Musar Tivi Asher LaAdam. So Torah is built. It gives you a more elevated perspective, and has to be built upon the more natural perspective. In source number four, Rav Kook describes what happens when there are contradictions between moral intuition, a regular natural moral intuition, and a Torah perspective. So up until now, we've been discussing mostly, I guess, in the previous piece it was both, but mostly common sense and an idea from the Torah. Now we're going to talk about morality. Rav Kook writes, "Davar makrachu she'sagal adam le'atzmo samusar tivi apashot b'chol rakov v'amko." It is necessary for a person to develop for himself the musar tivi apashot, a natural moral intuition, in all of its depths and breadth. V'es yiras Hashem, and also yiras Hashem, v'tam satar shel emunah pshuta, and things you gain from emunah pshuta, v'chol midosel brokav omek. L'gabei shtei haskulos halado yivne es kol ma'alos ruko ha'yonos, and upon these two foundations, these two treasures, musar tivi pashut, and yiras Hashem, you could build your spiritual world. Asr l'yiras shemayim shetidkag es musar tivi shaladam. It is forbidden for yiras shemayim to push aside the natural moral inclination of a person, musar tivi shel adam, ki az ina od yirat shemayim Torah. But then, because it is no longer pure yirat shemayim. Siman yirat shemayim Torah, a siman, indication that something is true yirat shemayim, hu kesha musar tivi, when for somebody's natural moral inclination, natua b'teva hayasher shel adam, which is planted in the straight teva of a person, holik va'ola alpia. If that natural moral intuition rises and is elevated through the Yirat Shemayim, then it is a siman that the Yirat Shemayim is Yirat Shemayim Tahora. Aval, in Tetsuya Yirat Shemayim b'tchuna kazo, shebelo hashpasa alachayim. But if you can imagine Yirat Shemayim, that without the Yirat Shemayim's influence on this world, hayu chayim yoser no tim lo lefal tov, the world would be a better place. Lo tiyas alapol dvar mo'ilim lefrad orkla. More good things would be brought into the world. And because of the Ashpa of Yirat Shemayim, so this impact is going to be diminished, it's going to be lessened. Yirat Shemayim kazos hi Yirat Psula. This type of Yirat Shemayim is Yirat Psula. So these pieces are very strident. Because Rav Kook, in the first two pieces, Rav Kook is saying that you need to have your Sichel HaYashar, Sichel Tiv'i Pashut, and Musar Tivi, and upon that you could build your world of Torah. But without those things, without the more natural level, without what could be referred to as common sense or das malavantim, your understanding of Torah is going to be diminished. And in this third piece, Rav Kook says there's not supposed to be a contradiction between the two. And if people are familiar with the secondary and tertiary literature on Rav Kook, both, I guess, in the rabbinic world and in the general media, these pieces have been hotly debated, because how far does this go? There have been people that have quoted some of these pieces, this last piece in particular, and have attempted to reinterpret various Isurim based on Rav Kook says it is not supposed to be a contradiction between Musar Tivi Shel Adam and Yirat Shemayim and what the Torah tells us to do. And therefore, if there is such a contradiction, so then you're almost obligated to reinterpret the Torah to conform with what is the Musar Tivi Shel Adam in our generation. So these pieces could be taken to the nth degree. And some people have, but I don't think, it doesn't seem like Rav Kook himself would do that. Rav Kook himself, as we know, was a very conservative posek. He was not matzir things because people wanted them to be matzir. But exactly how far Rav Kook would go with these ideas is a little bit hard to say. But let's say there's a psak in the Torah that everybody, the average person in the street thinks is immoral or thinks, it doesn't make any sense. So could Rav Kook throw away the psak in the Torah? Clearly, I think clearly not. I think clearly not. So what meaning do these passages have for us? So I think I'm not sure how much evidence there is for what I'm about to say. This is my own, I guess, intuition as to how as to what Rav Kook would say. But it's as follows: that in the ideal world, in Yemos HaMashiach, there is not going to be a contradiction between Das Balabatim and Das Torah. That when Mashiach comes, that people are going to have their own moral natural inclinations, even before the open up the Torah. And those inclinations are going to fit 100% with what they find in the Torah, and the Torah is going to build upon that to reach greater and greater heights. And this is what Rav Kook says at the beginning of the path, that the whole story of the Akedah, Rav Kook writes, is that Avraham Avinu, Hashem set up a conflict between the Tzivui Eloki and Avraham's Musar Tivi, Avraham's love for his son. And the whole point of the Akedah, the lesson, is that Avraham was willing to do it, but Hashem put the brakes on at the last minute. Hashem said there is this is whole, this is all this is all artificial. There was not supposed to be a contradiction between your Musar TV and what I'm going to ask you to do. Supposed to the Akedah being used as a model for when we have to sacrifice our own sense of self and our own moral inclination and Sikla Yashar for Hashem, which is the way our Soloveitchik reads the Akedah. Many people read the Akedah. That's a traditional reading of the Akedah. Of course, that's the whole point, is that Hashem is telling you at the beginning of the path, path of Torah, the Avraham Avinu, that there's not supposed to be contradictions. But we live in Galus. We live in a time period when we can't necessarily trust our own moral intuitions to the nth degree. And therefore, some contradictions are going to exist. However, as we get closer to Yemos HaMashiach, as we get closer to the ultimate reality, so these types of ideas, as we've seen in other places in Rav Kook, the types of idea of Torah Social Mashiach, Torah Sarah Israel, we're supposed to start percolating more in the back of our mind and maybe a little bit in the front of our minds. And therefore, what Rav Kook would argue is that if there is a clear contradiction between Musar Tivi and or Seichel Yashar and what the Torah wants you to do, so don't abandon the Torah, but at least use it as a stepping stone for a conversation. Maybe look back at the sugya, maybe ask Rabbein, maybe do more research, maybe interrogate your Musar Tivi a little bit more and see where it's coming from. That you can't just assume that Das Torah Hefek from Das Balabatim. I mean, it should be a cause for a pause, not to change the halakha of the Zman HaZeh, because we don't have the ability to do that, and not necessarily to always rely on a Das Yachid or to reread a pasuk or Din Shulchan Aruch based on Musar TV. And there are examples of people that have done such things based on the writings of Rav Kook, but at least have it raise a red flag to create a pause to get you to re-look at the sugya, to consult more, to ask more Rabbeim, to also to interrogate your Musar TV and see where it comes from. Does it come from the Teva HaPashut that Hashem put in you, which is a positive thing? Or did it come from maybe something more external, something which you gain from the outside world, from movies a person watched, or music a person listened to, or media a person read, or whatever it is, something that is not the tu'a in the tab of a person, but something that a person gained from the outside. So I think the first ramification of this idea, at least for us, is that in the ideal world, there's not supposed to be a contradiction. And therefore, if there is a contradiction, it should give us a sense of pause. It shouldn't be expected. And that pause should force us, should get us, motivate us to relearn a sugya, to consult, to interrogate our own Musar TV a little bit more, because the contradictions are not supposed to exist, particularly as we get closer to Yemos HaMashiach. A second ramification of these ideas is the relationship between what Rav Kook calls the intelligentsia and the hamon, the intelligentsia, the elite, the rabbinic elite, people that are book smart, the people that then know Torah from books, and the Jewish masses. If you look at source number six, Rav Kook writes that there has to be a very delicate balance between the intelligentsia, between the people that, in Torah, from a Torah perspective, people that know Torah, they know what it says from the Tanakh and Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim, and the Hamon and the masses. Rav Kook writes, intelligentsia, the intellectual elite, Choshava, I think it can separate itself from the masses. Shastia Yoser Bria Baruka, because then it will be it will be healthier in its spirit. Yoser atzila makshavasa will be more more noble in its thought. Zoe taos yisodis. This is a big mistake, a foundational mistake. Taos sheina makeres atzada barishish ba'akarota akarota tivios barkashos tivios v'chushem tiviim shelo nitzkatnu avogam lo nitzkalkulu aydei shum hashpa koltorit. That this is a mistake, but it doesn't recognize the healthy side of natural feelings, natural inclinations, of natural movements that on the one hand haven't been refined, haven't been fixed, but on the other hand also have not been ruined by cultural influences. Hasada barisha yosher matsuyu banashim gasim yoser v'yoser mashkios matsuy b'milumadin moserim ban makshava. Sometimes the people that are less learned have a healthier sense of justice, of righteousness, of what is correct than those people that are book smart. Yoser muvhakim he mumladim b'dvarim apratiim shel musar b'chukav v'ditukav avol etzem regashaso zosi mitzuya banashim b'riim tiviim shemeh amon amaretz. So the amon amaretz, they have a general sense of what is right and what is wrong. They may not be as refined. They may not be able to think it through to a large degree. They may not know the ins and outs of how to make an argument, but their general sense is often healthy, often correct. It's not just true about Musar, about right and wrong, it's also true about religious things, about spiritual things, about feelings of Amuna, feelings of the greatness of Hashem, Yofi, Chushius, V'chol Asher L'chaim B'derek Yishara, B'li Misunenas L'idei Atzinerot HaMalayim, Shechar Agmei Nefesh, Shodas V'chokma, Yoser Bari B'tar V'amon, all of these things which you think you need to be book smart for, to understand beauty, to understand grandeur, to understand the greatness of Hashem, to understand Amuna, these are often found in a healthier way, at least in the general sense, in the unlearned masses. But masses are unlearned, and therefore they don't know exactly where to go with these general feelings. But the masses can't protect the purity of their intuitions, of their inclinations. In any yachol, the kasher yafes musaga. We can't connect and build the concepts properly. It also doesn't know how to withstand a battle, how to withstand some type of moral temptation. How to deal with internal contradictions or things that are opposing you on the outside. They're easily swayed. Then for that you need the people that are learned, the people of thought. So what's Rav Kook saying? That let's say you have, this is true about culture in general, but Rav Kook is also applying it clearly to the realm of religion, spirituality, and Torah to a degree, that you might think a posek or a leader, or a Jew, a leader of a community, a Rav, just shouldn't take into account what the masses want. What do they know about Torah? What do they know about a way Shul is supposed to function? What do they know about proper midos or spirituality or how to connect to Hashem? They're not so learned. So you have to teach them. The role of the Rav is to teach them what the proper path is. Rav Kook is saying that's true to a degree, but if the masses want something, you don't have to accept it, carte blanche, that you have to go with them to the nth degree. But there is a positive gar'in there. There is often a positive gar'in there. The people want a certain thing. They want more singing. They want X, Y, and Z. They want to move in a certain direction. That should at least be taken as a healthy intuition that the Avodas Hashem of this generation has to move in that direction. How far it goes, at what pace, how is this going to manifest itself, what are the practical steps that have to be taken. For that, you need the intelligentsia. Then you need a melumad. You need somebody who could think things through. Think about if we can maybe davar mitaklus mitaklavor, roas anolad. You have to think things through and look in the svarim to see how should things be practically implemented. But at least in terms of the general intuition of where things should go, the rav has to take that into account from the hamon, from the masses. So I guess we've seen now two ramifications of the idea of this chibur that Rav Kook talks about between Seichel Yashar and Musar TV and Torah and Kedusha and Baruch HaKodesh and both Nigla and Nistar of Torah. Number one is that there's not supposed to be a contradiction, and therefore one has to be built upon the other. And therefore, if there is a contradiction, it should at least give us pause and thought, and we should try to relearn the sugya, consult, look into things more, interrogate our natural inclinations a little bit more. And a more specific ramification is that if you have a leader and a community, if the community, even if they're unlearned, if you want to go in a certain direction, the leader should not, you know, necessarily accept that. He can't be led by the people. But at least the general intuition, the general direction that the people want, is going to have a positive thing. It's going to be a manifestation of their unsullied moral or spiritual sense. And the leader has to take that general inclination and figure out what to do with it practically. It's how far to go with it, at what pace, and things of that sort, in order that there could be this chibur between the what he calls the ruach hamoni v'atzili, the spirit of the masses, and the spirit of the intelligentsia of the leaders. So for Rav Kook, das Torah is not supposed to be hefek das balabatim. The two things ideally are supposed to go together. One is supposed to be built upon the other. Torah obviously gives us a more divine perspective on the world, but it can't be ripped asunder from the das balabatim, at least in an ideal world. And when it is ripped asunder, when there is a contradiction, so then it should give us some element of pause. And therefore also the leaders, the intelligentsia, should take into account the perspective of the hamun. What is this idea of proof based on? Doesn't that make a lot of sense? The Torah is divine, it's from God. But what does common sense have to do with Torah? So this leads us to a general principle in the thought of Rav Kook, that Rav Kook's panentheism, Rav Kook's notion that everything in the world is a manifestation of divinity in one way, shape, or form. This is an idea that we've encountered before. It's an idea which is all over Chassidus. Chassidus is often in terms of the natural world, that in terms of sticks and stones and trees and rocks, everything in some way, shape, or form is a manifestation of divinity, as a nitzos kedusha, whatever formulation you want to use. And Rav Kook took this idea, and he also from earlier Chassidus, but he applied it very, very strongly also to natural things about a human being. Right? The natural midos the person has, the seichel yashar a person has, the musar tivi a person has, that these types of things are also manifestations of divinity in one way, shape, or form. They need to be refined, they need to be concretized, they have to be thought through. But intuition and moral intuition and seichelic intuition are very, very important factors in determining what Ratzon Hashem is in this world. And if Kook connects this shift from to trusting intuition more as a shift back towards Torah's Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Let's just look at one piece, source number 8. Of Kook writes, HaKedusha Shebeteva hi Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It could be, we've seen this piece before. Of Kook writes, the sanctity of Teva is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The Shekhinah Shiorta Begalos in Yisrael, hu HaKishor La'amid Kedusha B'nigud L'Teva. That Kedusha in Galos is Kedusha against the Teva of the world, against the Teva of a person. Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is Kedusha of Teva itself. Which Kedusha is higher? Not the Kedusha that fights against the Teva of a person. That is not complete Kedusha. That is a necessary form of Kedusha in Galus, where the Teva of the true Teva of a person, true Teva of the world, is hidden and concealed, but it is not complete Kedusha. That type of Kedusha, the Kedusha that's Lochem is Negat Teva, Srikahi Liot Bulua Batam Sitai Eunana B'Kedusha Yona, Shea Kedusha Shabateva Atzma, Shea Yusso Tikan Olam Kulo Vusimu Hagamor, that the Kedusha of Chutzaretz, which is Kedusha, pure Kedusha, so to speak, Negat Teva, has to be connected to the Kedusha of the Teva itself, which is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You can look around the rocks and the stones and feel the Kedusha of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and feel the presence of the Shekhinah. The same thing is true about the Teva of a person. Rav Kook continues talking about the Teva of a person, later on in this piece. The Teva of a person itself also is a manifestation of Kedusha. It's not sufficient. It's not self-sufficient. We're not in Yemos Mashiach yet, so you can't be fully trusted. But we are on the path back there, back to Gan Eden, back to Kedusha, back to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, a person's moral and intellectual intuitions have to be taken into account as manifestations of divinity. And therefore, Das Balabatim should not be Hefek of Das Torah, Bizman Hazeh, according to Rav Kook, as we are regaining and relearning Torah to Eretz Yisrael, but they're supposed to work in tandem. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great day. Kol Tov.